Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the word. Well, thank you, Jesus. I want to just share my heart with you today on some stuff. So we've been in our series on guardrails. And so this week would be the eighth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so what I wanted to do when we get there is talk about a very important guardrail that needs to be put in our marriages, amen, and how to prevent our marriages from falling into adultery. But we're going to learn that it's really a heart issue. Because this has to start, this guardrail has to be put there when you're single. Amen. So we're going to do that next week. And we're going to give you the 10 commandments to a healthy marriage. And so whether you're single or married, you do not want to miss next Sunday as we get into that. But today is a little bit different because we got kind of a big week this week coming up here in our nation. Many of you may know Tuesday is the NFL deadline for trade. And so we got to figure out if we're going to replace, you know, Hutch. I mean, we need a pass rusher. It's a big game today at 4 o'clock. And so the deadline is coming up. And so no, I'm just kidding. It's actually Pastor Steve's birthday is tomorrow. Seriously. Some of you are like, seriously. Amen. So we want to make sure you love on that man and thank him for, thank my mom for him being born. How about that? But we celebrate with Steve, and it's awesome. But Tuesday is actually November 5th. It's my spiritual birthday. It really is. That's the day that I gave my life to Jesus Christ 27 years ago. I've been serving Jesus longer than living without him. So it's just crazy how the Lord has done that, and it's amazing. And he has a sense of humor because he made me into a preacher and a pastor. So you never know what God's got for you. And so it's a pretty big week. But of course, we know what I'm getting at, and that is Tuesday, all eyes will be on America as we head to the polls and we do what we are supposed to do, and that is to vote. And my calling as a pastor is many different things. It's summarized very shortly by, number one, being a custodian of the presence of the Lord. This is our vision statement on the walkway as you go through the breezeway. What our vision is to fulfill Christ's vision for his church. How many know this is his church? I'm just a spokesman. And to fulfill his vision is to be a church of his presence. I'm a custodian of the presence of the Lord. If I sense the Lord is wanting to pray during worship, we're going to pray during worship. If we pray all service long, we'll do that. His presence is number one because God can do more in his presence in a moment than we can do in a lifetime of sermons. Amen. And his presence and his promises is another part of our vision. That's the word of God. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-based church. We read and believe in the Bible from cover to cover. And we teach it and we preach it here. Whether you're new to the faith or you've been serving the Lord for a long time, you're going to hear the word. Every time you come here, no matter who's preaching, we're blessed with a deep bench. Amen. And so with great ministers and raising up new ministers and younger ministers, which you're going to be see coming and sharing the word. And so proud of these guys during Harvest Festival. Zechariah was one of them sharing the word, did such a great job. How'd you get over there that fast? And it's amazing. And the third part of our vision is to be a church of all people. And we are a church for all people. And as the church grows and we find ourselves like in the book of Acts where, you know, some of them don't like big churches. Well, we're going to have a problem in heaven then. Anything God touches grows. The church in Acts in chapter 2 went from 120 to 4,000. When the Spirit, his presence was poured out. See, people are hungry for something different that they can't get at at a restaurant or at a class or somewhere, and we love education, we thank God for it, but only one place is found where the presence of the Lord is. And God said, it's in my house that I will put my name and my presence. And so that's what our church is all about. However, I have another responsibility, not only to be a custodian of the presence of the Lord, but I'm called to be a watchman. And the Bible says in Ezekiel that I'm called, and again in the book of James, that I'm called to be a watchman and stand on that wall. And when they saw trouble coming, they would warn the people. And I have to lead as a pastor through every season of life, whether it be a global pandemic or a racial tensions that almost caused a civil war or whatever it may be, and a political season. And this is a very important election that's coming up, from the presidential. In a few days, we're going to be going and having a national election here in the United States of America, from president all the way to governors, senators, congressmen, proposals. There are so many things on the ballot. And so here's the thing. I don't like politics. I'm not a political person. If you've been coming to this church any amount of time, you know that. However, politicians, they write policies that affect people. And we're into people, as I just told you, all people. And it was during our Harvest Fest, we had a politician who's running for a congressman, I believe it was, showed up. They just saw a bunch of people. And that's what they do. They come shake hands and kiss babies. Amen, whatever. Politicians are politicians. People say anything this time of year to get elected. And I'm not going to go through all of that rhetoric. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. We don't endorse any candidate as a church, and I'll explain that in a moment. If you want to talk politics and who to support out of the pulpit, I'll be gladly to talk to you about that. But my job today is to be a watchman, and I want to give you, and here's the title, How to Stay Anchored in Christ During Election Week. There's no reason why the church would act so crazy, no matter how this election turns out. As I told you last week, everything outside those doors wants to divide us. The church has got to be different. A divided nation needs a united church. Let me say that again. A divided nation needs a united church. And no matter where you are on whether you're new in the faith, and I realize that you get saved, you may be brand new in the faith or not even serving the Lord, and you're just visiting or watching online. And what happens is you hear the message of Jesus and you hear how God steps into your chaos and he brings you out and he brings miracles out of messes. And we hear all of these wonderful things and we say yes to Jesus and we follow him. But all of our life, we might have had a different worldview than having a biblical view. And so that's where the tension begins to come in. And there's where the ideologies rub. And our family has looked at life this way. And my ethnicity has looked at life this way. Or my occupation or my gender. And we look at things through that lens. And when you get saved, we're called to look at the world through a completely different lens. And it's the biblical lens. And that takes time. That takes discipleship. That's on me and our leaders. We do it in small groups. But really the Holy Spirit does it when you go and you read this book. And what I've learned, the more we stay in this book, the more like Christ we become. I don't like talking politics because I never want our church to be a political church. I don't want us to be looking like a Republican church or a Democratic church or so. I don't want you to be able to look at this church and say it's a white church or a black church or a brown church or a yellow church. I want you to look at River of Life and say that church has the presence of God in that place. That is what we're called to do. That is what I'm going to do. But having some conversations with many of our young people in this last 2 weeks, especially, now when I say young people, I mean under 40. I was really like, wow, having these conversations with, and here's the question, how do you vote? Who do you vote for? And these are conversations coming from people that was raised in church, that's been in church for a while. Listen, you never take it for granted that people worshiping next to you today see life the same way you do. And sometimes we have a tendency that my way is the only way. And unless you're talking about Jesus, then yeah, absolutely, he's the only way. But there takes some time for people to learn and some teaching and some understanding. How many know this is what Jesus was up against? And I'll show you that here in a few moments as we go through the scripture. that I don't speak on political issues, I speak on moral issues, I'll speak on ethical issues, I'll speak on biblical issues. And some of these do dip into the waters of politics. You talk about abortion, that's one of the big ones. I'll mention that here in a moment. I'm pro-life, and I like to say I'm pro-love. That means we should defend the unborn from the womb to the tomb. It's more than just saying don't have an abortion. How many know if the mother decides to keep the baby, the church also needs to be there and say, hey, I'll give you a hand. It's easy to point fingers. Man, what are you doing? You keep that baby. And a single mom with an environment that has no money or drug addiction and problem. It's easy to point fingers, but it's a totally different thing to come alongside of them and say, hey, let me help you with that baby. This is why we're huge into foster care. This is why we're huge into taking care of babies. This is why we support the AAA Pregnancy Center. And these are Bible-based things. Before I came to Christ, I'm very open with this. Melinda and I have shared our story. We had a different worldview than I do now with church, especially when it comes to abortion and things like that. And I'll share that here in just a moment. But I got to start with this. This is the number one. We got to speak about loyalty. Everybody say loyalty. Or allegiance. If I had time, I was going to make them because I like to do that with the same letters. But number one, you got to remember this. Our loyalty is to the kingdom of God over any political party. We got to start there. Amen. We got to start there. Our loyalty, our allegiance has to be to the kingdom of God over any political party. Where do you get that from? Years ago when I got saved, God was working on me to change my worldview. And I even got a window and I put it up on the stage. I saw this come up on Facebook actually a couple of weeks ago. And I got a window and I wrote how we have our worldview by our experiences. And we wrote our experiences by family and friends and by the Holy Spirit will tell us. And then I wrote on the bottom of the window, the Word of God. And I used that illustration to show you have worldview based on what happened to you. Everybody in this world and watching online has a worldview. You got a lens that you'll look at everything with. You judge everything, the politicians, these crazy commercials that are all this stuff. But when you get saved and I take that window and I lift that window up so that the Bible is how you look at all your life's experiences, your relationships, the Bible is how we are to have a worldview. It's a biblical worldview. And God showed me that in the story of Joshua over in Joshua chapter 5 when Joshua was leading Israel to fight against the Canaanites. And the Bible says a man appeared in front of Joshua. And he was a soldier, but Joshua didn't recognize him. And he asked the question, which side are you on? Which side are you on, God? Which side are you on? Are you Republican or Democrat or independent? What side are you on? And God showed me this. I love the answer. And this is what God would say to us today. Neither. Look at what he said. Put it up on the screen. Neither one. The angel said, neither one. Now he's talking to Joshua, a Christian man leading the armies of God. He was for Israel. He led Israel. But he said, when it comes to picking sides, when it comes to, here it is, be identified by a man-made political party, I'm not with one of them. My identity is not in either one of them. For I am the commander of the Lord's army. This is where our allegiance and our loyalty has to first lie when you talk politics. The moment when it doesn't, the moment when we start saying, but this is how my family or this is what I believe and it contradicts the word of God, I'm out. I'm out. God bless you. Let's talk about football. Because when politics becomes God, I'm out. Because it's not going to be the thing. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. But I love how his response was. Look at Joshua's response. And then Joshua, at this, fell with his face to the ground in reverence. And he says, I am at your command. What do you want your servant to do? I love that. He didn't argue with him, but he said, I am going to take my worldview and I am going to submit it to what you would say. He said, first of all, he said, I'm with neither party. How many know Jesus is the other? I said, Jesus is the other. I saw this one sign in front of a house, and it said, Vote Jesus 2024. Amen. I said, that's pretty good. Amen. How do you do that? We'll get to that in a moment, but I want you to see this main point. And then Joshua didn't argue. He said, what do you want me to do, Lord? Why? Because There is total peace in total surrender. I would say like this, there's only total peace in total surrender. Matter of fact, that issue that's got you so anxious right now that you keep taking back every time after we pray, that's got you so strenuous, if you would totally surrender that thing to God and leave it in the hands of God and leave it in the lap of God, His total peace will come to your life, guaranteed. Total peace comes from only total surrender. And some people, they judge everything. They allow their politics to govern every major decision of their life. They allow their politics to dictate who they're going to talk with, who they're going to friend or befriend or block on Facebook, who they're going to have friends, how they're going to raise their family. Even their spiritual life with God is hinged upon their view of politics. I'm telling you, that's the wrong way. It needs to be the other side around. Your spiritual life needs to govern who you are friends with, how you raise your family, and how you view politics. Oh, let's go eat chili. Amen. We're going to take communion here in a minute. And so ushers, get ready to hand out some communion in case folks didn't have it. So, but because it's something that we have got to remember, that we are called to be different than what's out there. God is greater than American politics. And I'm driving this home because you're amening me now, but I'm not concerned so much as who wins. I'm concerned what happens after the winner. Some of us got PTSD, you know what I'm saying? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the ads and Kamala and Donald Trump and Ted Cruz keeps texting me and it's driving me crazy. You can't watch anything without the ads. You get people's nine. I opened the door for a guy at the mall just the other day and he had a shirt that's, you know, political. And I just opened the door. I thought he was just gonna get violent. And then he saw I did something nice. He went, thank you. And I could just see, you could see the tension on people. I like to crack jokes, but I said, no, I'm not gonna that time. Amen. Some people allow their politics to govern. Let's move. Number one, you gotta, if you don't have that first thing, you're gonna be miserable. It's going to be a rocky road, and you're going to fight battles you were never meant to fight. You're never going to have the peace and the love of God. You're not going to see it. You're going to say, why? I'll go to church. Yeah, because your loyalty, your allegiance is put into a political party. How many know our hope is not in the White House, as amazing as it is? It's not. Now, policies do matter, and that's where I get to the second point, because this is where I hear from a lot of people saying they're going to sit this one out, and many sat out, And so this point here is for those who may be planning on not voting. And I understand the evangelical church had like 30 or 40 million did not vote last election, which could have swung election. You know, people talk about them swing voters. I'm telling you, if the church would unite and just decide, and I'm telling you, it would declare a winner like that in every one of these arenas that we complain about. The gender thing, the school thing, the economy. Well, unless you vote, I don't think we got a right to complain. I don't know. Is that right? Is that right? So was Jesus ever asked about voting? Because I'm a Bible guy. That's the question I ask. Has he ever been asked about participating in governmental systems? Actually, he was. And here's the scripture. They came to him, and let me set it up before you show it. And they said, and if you read it, it says, and the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus to test him. Like I'm being tested when they go, who are you voting for? You know, I'm like, yeah, find out later. They came to test him and they said, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And Jesus said, and you guys know the story. I love it back up. They said, for Jesus, we know that you don't allow any man to hinder you when you speak, but you speak the words of God in truth. I said, phew, that's powerful. That's how we ought to be known. It's for people who isn't biased but speak the truth. I find fault on both of our political parties. Let me just tell you that right now. Right now. And if you want to discuss them, we will, because neither one of them got it all right. That's why our loyalty is in the kingdom of God. But he says this, show me a coin. He's seen the coin. He said, whose inscription is on the coin? They said, Caesar. And then he said this, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. What's the point? we have a civic duty.
That's
the second thing you got to realize, that we do. We are called to have a civic duty to vote. Now, it's something that we as Americans, this is a big deal. We're going to celebrate veterans next Sunday. It's Veterans Day. Our veterans have fought for the right for us to come together and vote. That's a privilege. How many know that? Amen. So we need to vote. So God is saying, listen, participate in the governmental systems, pay taxes. Because they were saying, well, since our loyalty is with the kingdom, then we shouldn't have to pay taxes, right? That'd be awesome. But Jesus said, no. I need you. You need to pay your taxes. But here's the point. You have to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God's and the things unto God. Means you have to have discernment. You have to have discernment as far as what is the claim of Caesar and what is the claim of God. Because every narrative that we have in our politics right now, immigration, we have abortion, whatever you pick, there is a narrative from the political arena, and then there's a biblical narrative. And you and I have got to do our due diligence in studying that out and finding out what it is and using discernment on what these issues are. But I love it. They didn't even ask him about God. They didn't ask him about God. They asked him about paying taxes. What did Jesus do? Jesus brought God into the conversation. Why? Because if our loyalty is with him, then God will govern every decision that we make. So what he's saying, he says, people, you got to go ahead and pay your taxes even to a Caesar who was oppressing you. Because here's the thing, and this is what I tell people, how do you vote this year? I said like this, you don't vote according to personalities, you vote according to policies. That's exactly what he said. He said, you don't agree with Caesar. I don't agree with Caesar, but you are to vote and you are to pay your taxes to Caesar, because that is what the church is called to do. So you and I have got to learn to find out what is the claim coming from. Politics, man, and they're all lies. So many of them are so many lies, man. They're just twisted and sound bites, and people don't fall for it. Everything on TikTok is not true. I mean, do we know that? Everything on the internet is not true. I don't care what celebrity this and that, what people say. If they have Beyonce or Hulk Hogan ripping his shirt off, I'm saying that's great. That's all ways to get a crowd rallied. But listen, when it comes down to voting, especially with our presidential election, listen, church, we've got two different personalities running for president. We have a black female and an orange male. Come on, somebody, amen. I gotta bring some humor in here because some of y'all looking at me like, relax, it's a joke. You need to ask yourself, what policies best line up with the word of God? What policies will allow the kingdom of God and the gospel message to go further and freely? Right. I don't like that person. Let me tell you something. It's like watching one of my favorite shows is Monk. Hey, okay. He's a detective. And he's a little OCD. And Melinda calls me, I got OCD. Okay, I get it. But he's clever. He can solve crime. And there's this one episode. Y'all remember that one episode when they had a piece of evidence and it was detrimental to the case and a dog ate it. Yeah. And so, well, Mr. Monk is a germaphobe. He hates any kind of germs. But they had to follow this dog around until, y'all saw it. You know what I'm saying? And every time he had to do his business, somebody had to dig through the mess to get to the evidence. Can I tell you, that is how it's been with this political season. You gotta dig through the mess. Come on, tell your neighbor, dig through the mess. You gotta plug your nose. You gotta dig through the mess, because somewhere down in there is the truth. It's the policies that will, watch this, not only affect us, but more of my kids and grandkids that's going to be at stake. And there are biblical things that I have to side with, because it's a biblical thing, like abortion. I side with pro-life. Yes, I side with protecting the most vulnerable of our species. But I say that, but you got to dig through the mess sometimes to get through it. And our country is divided down the middle on this. Even when Roe versus Wade was overturned, do you know 25 states are 25 states put restrictions on abortion? That's great. 25 others did not, though. Right. Do you see how divided we are? And it's not, I believe it's because of the political narrative that we've been told, and it's about women's rights. And that sounds so noble, doesn't it? It sounds so noble. You know, it's even called healthcare rights and reproductive rights, and I get it. But when you start talking about it, you start peeling back and you go, what does that mean? It's a woman's right to do what? To choose, okay? To choose to do what? To choose to end the life of a baby. And for those reasons, I have changed my view because Melinda and I saw things differently before we got saved. In fact, I almost had my oldest daughter, Felicia, aborted. You guys know that. We've told that story. We were not ready to be parents. Some of our best friends had multiple abortions to where they can't have children at this point. We were just like, that's the way. And let me just say, because whenever you talk about a hot topic like that, it can go two ways. One that's pro-life is like, yeah, but the other side, maybe that you've had an abortion. And there are people sitting in our room and watching online that's had an abortion. Yes. And I just want to stop right now and tell you, number one, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. But that God loves you, he has grace, and there is healing available for you. We told that to our best friends as she walked through that season. We even are in talks of having a life group this winter that's going to help women walk through sexual trauma and also those that have had abortion and needs to walk through that. Because as I said, it's one thing to go, don't kill that baby, you know, and then we don't do anything to follow up with it. Let me tell you something. It's a big issue. If and this is the conversation I have, then I'm going to move on with pro-life. I mean, this is just a big one to me. Is those that are on the other side of the aisle on this issue, I always just ask you, I said, you got to know one name. Do you know Margaret Sanger? And many don't even know who that is. And I tell you, you need to look up who Margaret Sanger is. Margaret Sanger was a racist. She believed in removing inferior races. She was born in the late 1800s and died in 1966. Adolf Hitler followed her model in exterminating, that's his word, the Jews from Germany. What does that have to do with abortion? Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood. Do you ever wonder why 64% of Planned Parenthoods are located in the middle or adjacent to minority communities? And they're hailed in our society as being some kind of noble healthcare. And I just want, do your due diligence and find out the truth before we jump on these bandwagons. Dig past the hype and the words and the banners and the videos and the 30-second video clips. Stop, pray, and say, God, what view best supports your will for this country and for my personal life? The third thing I want to say, and this is where we're going to take communion, is this. We have the assurance of God's sovereignty. And this is how you can rest and stay anchored in Christ. Because what if, Pastor Eddie, what if people get into office that are for abortion? What if people get in there and they come after our kids, you know, and they're gonna try to kill whatever? Listen, no matter who gets elected at the end of the day, as a child of God, my allegiance is to him because God is sovereign. That means God is sovereign. He puts leaders. Look at these scriptures. Look at Daniel. Daniel says, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms of the earth. Is that America? Yes. And he gives them to anyone he wishes, and he sets over them the lowliest of people. Here's the main point. No matter who is elected on Tuesday, it's not going to affect who I worship on Sunday. It's not going to affect how I read the word. It's not going to affect my relationships with people. Don't allow a political season to end a lifelong relationship with people. Don't allow this to cut family members off. And listen, if we have the truth, if you claim to have the truth and the other person does not, how are you going to persuade them? That's what we're called to do, is persuade men. How are you going to tell them the truth if they are now an enemy to us? By the way, those enemies on the political side are one of two people. They're either a follower of Christ who Jesus loves, or they're a potential follower of Christ who Jesus loves. Red or blue, black or yellow, we are precious in his sight. People say, Pastor Eddie, your church is a purple church. I've had people say that, diversity. I know there's Democrats up in there and there's Republicans up in there. And I said, man, we're purple. We got to be careful here. Yeah. We're the color of the blood of Jesus. I hate talking about this stuff. Can you tell? Pray for you, Pastor. People are asking me, how do you vote? And this is what I tell you. Don't you rest. Proverbs 21, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. I wish we would elect someone, we get a winner, and we move on. I would love that. But I don't know what's going to happen. But I know this, it's not gonna, like I said, it's not gonna affect my worship, it's not gonna affect my devotion, and it's not gonna affect my mission. I'm gonna love you and preach the gospel to you, whether you vote, you don't vote, or you vote for the different person than I would. I'm here to love, and I'm called to do that, and we need to remember that we have got to be something that is different that's outside these walls. Will you stand with me today? Amen. I made it through there. Y'all ready to eat some chili? Well, before we do that, we're going to take communion. If you didn't get a communion element, can you hold your hand up real high? Ushers, would you please? I need a communion element here as well as the front row. Those of you that are watching online, you want to get two elements, bread and a drink, something that symbolizes the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ. Bread, cracker, it could be anything, juice, water, and you want to join. I want us to take communion together as a church family. We have something that's greater than politics, and this week's going to be over. I hope it's over sooner than that. But once it's over, we got to get back to work. I need a... Thank you, Frank. I am not voting for your chili. Amen. I am just kidding. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took this cup and he said, listen, that government that I told you to pay taxes to, that government's going to put your Lord on the cross. And then that government's going to come after you. See, that's why it don't matter who runs, who's in the White House, because here's the fact, God can change the heart of any president. Remember that, whoever wins on Tuesday, even if it's someone you don't think is godly or whatever, remember, God can change your heart. We still need to pray for revival, and that scripture said God changes the hearts of the kings. He can still bring revival. In fact, the revivals came in the book of Acts under the most oppressive leaders that there were. And so Jesus said, but I want you to take this communion before I go to the cross, and I want us to take communion before Election Day. Some of you already voted. Amen. Thank you. Glad you did. Some of you are going to vote Tuesday. Some of you are not going to vote. It's your civic duty. Pray, vote, and then pray again. And then come to church Wednesday night. If you can make it, bring your family. He took the body and he says, you know what? My body's going to be broken for Jews only. In fact, he looked across the table and he said, I got somebody eating dinner with me today that disagrees with everything I stand for. His name is Judas. And I'm going to die for him. Wow. And he said, I want you to take this communion until I return, remembering this moment that we've got the ability to unite. We got something greater than politics. We're citizens of a kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. We're citizens of a kingdom. Do you realize that? This is all going to be over one day. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for your body. That's what this wafer represents. And it's broken for us. And we thank you for the body, your body that was broken on the cross. And we bless it right now in Jesus' name. And we take it together as one. Everybody in here and everybody online, let's take it together. And then he took up a cup and he said, I know you've understood the Bible in the Old Testament as a God of judgment and having a particular people, the Jewish people. And yeah, that's true. That was for a season though. But I'm here to tell you that there's a new covenant. There's a new covenant and everybody's welcome into this new covenant. Jews and Gentiles, male and females, everybody, Americans. Europeans, everyone, all you got to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ, in me, and believe that I am the Messiah. Turn from your ways, your worldview, your sin. Turn from that sin that's keeping you in Egypt. Turn your heart, fully surrender to me, and you're one of my citizens. Your sins are forgiven. So that's why I like to hold the cup up, because everything under the cup is under the blood. And I have a lot that needs to be under the blood. I don't know about you. So I always hold this cup up. Lord, thank you for the blood that this represents. Forgive us of our sins. And if you're in this place and you're just visiting, you're even taking communion, and listen, this is a time that's very solemn. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Those of you who are at home too, say, just forgive me of my sins, or cleanse ourselves. We need to reflect right now. Cleanse us, oh God, of all of our sin before we partake of the blood, what represents the blood into our bodies. Thank you that our sins are forgiven. We ask you to wash us clean. And we thank you for what you did on that cross. And we take this together in Jesus' name as one body. Amen. Let's take it together. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord for one more moment before we dismiss? Father, we don't know what this week holds, but we know who holds this week. And it's you. More importantly, you hold our individual futures and destinies. Help us to stay anchored in you, no matter what the talking heads say, no matter what the media says, and the radios and all of this, and friends and people and families. Let us not be pressured by people, but be led by your Spirit. As we go to the polls and we elect and we go according to policies, what we believe, God, is aligned with your word. And I pray, Father, for this country. Lord, help our country, Almighty God, to put down their swords, to do our civic duty, and then to walk with integrity after it, Lord. I pray your blessing upon our church. Will you do one more thing? Join hands with the person next to you if you're able. If you're able to join hands, just I know I hate holding hands too. I know. Come on, real quick. Just join hands. It's just a sign of unity right now. Join hands. Go across the aisle. Go ahead. Go across the aisle. Join hands. This is your brother, your sister. If they love Jesus, you're going to be in heaven with them for a long time. So come on, get used to them now. Come on. Don't let the devil in at all right now, in Jesus' name. Will you pray for them on your right and then pray for them on your left? Go ahead. Just pray for them. You don't got to ask them what's going on. Just pray for them. God bless them. Help them this week. Go ahead, pray. Bless them this week. Help them this week. Help their families. Help their decisions. Help them, God, in this area, Lord. We are the body of Christ. Our loyalty is to you, Lord Jesus. Help them. Help them in whatever they're struggling with, whatever they're dealing with, oh God. Help them, Lord. Remember, our loyalty is to you, Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, pray for another one. Pray for another one. Lord, help them on the other side. In the name of Jesus, whatever they're dealing with, God, may not have nothing to do with the politician this week or the election, but God, they're dealing with family crisis, financial crisis. Help them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Now, come on, lift your right hand up to the Lord. Let me bless you and give the benediction. May the Lord God cause his face to shine upon us. May he go before us this week and come behind us. May the Lord arise and his enemies be scattered. May us walk in unity and in love and in step with the Holy Spirit every day of this week. And may his blessings be upon us and upon our children and upon our children's children. Thus saith the Lord God. We receive that today in Jesus. Well, amen and amen. Pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his
presence, his promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.